Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome to the Sherlock's Weekly Highlights podcast with me, Georgie Coleridge-Cole. This week, I'm joined by Maya Lucky, Charlotte Collins and Astrid Carter. Which, by the way, we were talking about names the other week with Hannah at Stratford Taylor, and you were saying how you wouldn't change your name. Mm. I don't think before I speak on these things, and I know my husband's going to. He got home, he was like, it's lucky I love you so much. But you were saying how you wouldn't want to change your name, and then we were having this bit of a debate whether Jones or Smith, which is the more popular name in the UK. Do you know the answer?
I would say Jones.
I would say Smith.
Smith? Yeah. So there are about 750,000 Smiths in the UK.
I definitely know more That's Jones like... than Smith.
Me and there are about 500,000 Joneses.
Oh. That is such a high percentage of the country.
I know, but I think I'd rather be a Smith than a Jones. Just really bad. One of my husbands is great friends. Anyway, I laughed at it because you said that you wouldn't change your name.
No.
And you loved Carter. But Carter is in the top 20 surnames in the UK. Did you know that?
Astrid's in the top 50, so I've just got a very common name now.
So you're just very common. How
funny.
Anyway, that did make me laugh. Now, I've got to confess that I'm sitting here in my gym kit this morning, which is against company rules. But I was awake pretty early this morning, waiting for VIP to launch.
Yay.
And I intended to go at 7:15, but instead I just sat there looking at my phone, looking at all the updates. It's kind of like a drug you can't put
down. You get hooked and then you can't look away.
So has it done well so far?
So yes, it has. We actually don't have enough cards in the office.
Stop it.
What? To print.
That's insane.
Which is quite cool. And yesterday we were having a bit of a last minute run through to see if we had everything we needed. And Harriet said, so I've got this many cards and... I think, did you say, or she said, shall I order some more?
We were like, no, don't jump the gun. No expectations.
I have to say, out of all the launches we've done, this is the one that, like, I've had the most friends text me or email me, like,
Have you?
Because, you know, we've been teasing it with social and email and stuff, yeah.
Oh, that's nice to hear. I don't know, you just don't know with these things, and I think the sort of worry is there have been so many things of this nature over the years that have sort of come and gone.
Yeah.
But I think where we're different is because this isn't our sole business, we're a publisher first and foremost, so I hope we're in a really strong position to sort of negotiate the best deals for our VIPs and what I think we have already. And you know, there's September and already the October calendar is looking amazing, as is November. So
as a bystander, I'm like waiting for the next month. So I was thinking, like, cool, it's next month. Yeah, it's really exciting.
Well, I know, I hope all suppliers are ready. Yeah, so it's £5 a month or £50 for a year, and then you get all these, you know, amazing offers. Like, you can go to Albert's, the private member style in South Kensington, for free for a month. You can get 75 quid off your Botox. You get a free day pass at a parenting club. I mean, there's some cool stuff. Free glass of wine at the Humble Grape. Gym classes.
Yeah, that's a really good deal.
50% off your blow dry.
Yeah, that's really good.
And I'm waiting for the code to go live, so I can put
it. And the early bird tickets to the Ginger Line as well. It's like an unbelievable coup. Because they sell out in minutes. Yeah. So, yeah, when I saw that, I was like, whoa.
Every time they launch a new one, someone's like, oh, I can get tickets.
Yeah.
So that's amazing.
Yeah, 24-hour early access. So no, it's very exciting. I actually had, everyone's been saying to me, you know, what's the magic number? I had some girls over last night and they're like, what's the magic number? Like, I had a number in my head for the first year and I'm hoping we're going to get halfway to that today.
Wow, so that's
insane.
So on the topic of lifestyle, books, TV, podcasts, what have people been up to, reading, watching?
So I want to give a small shout out to a show that, well, it's actually a movie called I Am Bolt. My best friend was involved in the production of
it's
like a feature length documentary. It's a doc, but it's movie length, and it basically charts, they followed him for I think about 5 years, and they basically are charting kind of the behind the scenes of his training for the big kind of international events, specifically the 2008 Olympics and the 2012. First of all, it's an amazing insight into what it takes to be a professional athlete like that. Like, I mean, you know, it's nothing so few
cheat.
Of us who doesn't cheat. So that was the other thing I was going to say.
Just quickly side note, yeah. No Farah, I'm really confused.
I know. Well, somebody was showing me this weekend, because after, obviously, it was really controversial on Friday last week when Usain Bolt didn't win, like, you know, his final race.
I nearly cried.
And
actually,
there's a list of everyone who's won that race for the last, like, 12 years, and it was like, here's a version of that list, cutting out all the drugs cheats, and the only name left on that list of winners was Usain Bolt. He's, like, the only person in the entire industry.
Do you not, you just have to hurt. I mean, Jessica Ennis was retrospectively awarded...
Yes, a first place, yeah.
Is it yesterday, the last 2 days, or whatever it is? But I just, like, Mo Farah, I've said, I don't know, I just, even with Mo Farah, are we going to find out, like we did with him, are we going to find out that Usain Bolt has cheated down the line? I don't know.
It seems unbelievable that people...
Why don't we just let them all cheat?
Right, like, how can one person be exempt?
Why do they keep doing it? They're all getting caught out.
No, because they're not. They've all got away with it for so long.
It's like the same as cycling on Tour de France. Like, it was just complete culture, and... There would be no point in them racing against each other at that time.
Did anyone see that Lance Armstrong talking?
Yes, documentary
film. I mean, that was just incredible.
Yeah.
Watching him basically have a blood transfusion,
yeah.
and then store the blood, the uncontaminated blood, in a fridge, and then pump it back into him at fridge temperature.
Who could do that?
And I don't know about the Usain Bolt one, but the Lance Armstrong one was so well edited, because it would kind of cut from him sitting in court going, "I can't believe I'm being accused of cheating," and then it would cut to him on Oprah Winfrey and her saying, "Did you ever ride under the influence
The Bolt one is obviously isn't kind of twisted in any way to suggest that he's kind of had any dirty business, and it also it's kind of entirely with permission. It's an autobiography sort of, as opposed to a biography.
Yeah.
The camera crew very much followed
it's
him
BBC,
all this time. Yeah, well, Fullwell is the name of the production company who made it, and it's going out on BBC. We all kind of know what it takes, you know, in inverted commas, but like, it's amazing to actually see the dedication.
Like, well, talking of sports documentaries, has anyone watched the Cristiano Ronaldo one on Netflix?
No.
I mean, I'm by no means a football fan,
no.
but I just watched it one day. It's so good.
Yeah, things
it's
like that.
It's fascinating. Oh. Just how, you know, he came from really humble beginnings, and he's just so driven.
Yeah,
just an incredible person. Yeah, it's more mental than physical.
Oh, I think things like that are brilliant. I mean, it's like the James Cracknell trilogy. I don't know if any of you ever saw that.
I never saw it, but I remember we put it in our Christmas gift guide.
And we did, and I gave it to various people in my family, and I don't even know if you can still buy it on Amazon, but it's just phenomenal. It charts him doing three big events, and anyway, one of them is Marathon des Sables. The guy only is the best Briton ever, the fastest Briton ever to run the Marathon des Sables. Which is, you know, 7 marathons in 6 days, or is it 6 marathons in 7 days? But anyway, those sorts of things I think are just so brilliant. So I'm going to watch Usain Bolt.
Yeah. So the other thing that I've been tuning into is a new podcast. It's by John Ronson, who is he's quite an esteemed Welsh journalist. He does This American Life, which is famed for Serial, and he's got a new series out called The Butterfly Effect. It's a 7-part series. It's currently available on Audible, but it's coming to iTunes in November, and it's about what happened when
Audible's brilliant.
It is.
I've never used it.
I think it's brilliant. I'm just sorry. I'll let you know in a second. But yeah, we talked about before listening to. But you know, if someone doesn't have time to read, I think it's just it's like the cheat's way of going through books.
And there's so much out there that you wouldn't necessarily pick up on a bookshelf as well.
And you can speed it up.
I love it.
I love it because my husband comes home and I'm listening to a podcast and hears me listening to a podcast, and he's like, "Only you would listen to a podcast on 1.5 speed." But you can read a book on Audible fast. So I've been reading Marching Powder, still reading Marching Powder, it's quite long. Listen to Marching Powder, which is about prison in Alcatraz.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's an incredible book.
Yeah.
If anyone's interested in it, it's about cocaine and basically how the best cocaine in Bolivia apparently comes from the prison. I've been reading it, listening to it on Audible, and how, brilliant.
Yeah.
If somebody doesn't have time to read.
Yes.
Get onto Audible and you get a free trial, don't you?
Yes, so that's how I listened to The Butterfly Effect, which was sneaky. I probably will delete it afterwards. But so you've got a free trial, and basically what it's about is he starts by researching the guy, a guy from Belgium, who basically enabled all porn to be available and accessed for free online. So before this guy Fabian came along in like the early 2000s, all porn was essentially paid for before this guy Fabian kind of came into the picture and changed things around. So basically, it's a 7-part series which tracks the knock-on effect of this porn now being so widely available and what's kind of happened to both people within the industry, but kind of society as a whole since, you know, porn has become like something for the masses, essentially. So basically, each episode kind of tracks the different dark sides that have kind of come out of this. So things like kind of young, impressionable boys who are being put on the sex offenders register because they're learning
such a problem.
They're learning kind of bad language and phraseology and stuff from
these. But also such a problem. I mean, sex offenders register is one thing, but how sort of normal, can you say middle class, I don't know, but how these sort of young boys are learning from pornography how to treat women.
Yes.
And it's having a real, it's a real, it's quite a hot topic at the moment.
Yes, I can imagine if you've got kids it is, because they kind of touch on that as well within the series, that actually how do you even begin to give your children a kind of safe, normal, in inverted commas, kind of sex education if they're at such a young age, they're getting such wide access to the explicit,
that's so derogatory,
right,
for women.
Stuff. Exactly. Yeah, so that's quite a large part of it. They also focus on kind of, obviously now with so much readily available, people are kind of having to get their kicks elsewhere, so bespoke porn is a massive kind of part of the series. These are companies in America, like out in the valley in LA, and they basically will kind of tailor make any porn to people's requests. But what this podcast kind of revealed is that people are using it for kind of quite sad reasons. So there was one guy who requested to have some porn actresses ruin his stamp collection, and like that, I know it's so weird, but like this guy, and then it kind of, it's all to do with like, you know, these emotional problems that they've had earlier in life. So they tracked down this guy, and it turned out that this was because he, like, people had made fun of his stamp collection as he was growing up, and so, you know, all of this stuff kind of comes out that people are really kind of turning to porn to like exorcise.
Yeah, it's quite damaging.
Right.
Yeah. Those emotional scars or whatever are attached to something.
Exactly.
Like
sexual.
Really very
exactly. Yeah. And the biggest, the series ends on something, and this isn't really ruining it because there's like a lot of kind
of. Yeah, don't ruin it.
Yeah, it's so good, but there's a lot of rhetoric around this because, again, this brings up so many questions that somebody contacted one of these bespoke agencies and said all they wanted was an actress to sit in front of a camera and say, "You are loved. It gets better. It's worth staying alive. Like, don't do this." I know, it's really, really sad. So on the flip side, the industry itself has kind of been turned on its head. So in the past, where people were able to kind of have like porn careers essentially with longevity, now essentially it's all run on SEO. So what people are searching for the most part is either babysitter porn or MILF porn. So if you're anywhere between the ages of 22 and 29, like, that's it, you're literally obsolete within the industry. Like, you can't work. So yeah, a lot of people are kind of being put out of business in that sense too.
It's interesting that you say that, because recently I was on holiday in Marbella, in this complex, sort of like a housing complex, but yeah, there's this couple that live there, and they are porn producers and a porn actress. They live together.
How do you know?
Well, I got told by my friend, because she also has a house there. And then I sort of went on a stalking mission to find them, because I wanted to see what they look like.
And did you?
Yes, I found them. And they're very much what you would expect, a cliche.
What do they look like?
What is the cliche?
He's got long blonde hair, like jeans with a studded belt. She's like made up to the nines.
It's Simon Cowell.
Yeah.
My
no,
jeans? No.
It's more like bad pop.
Okay.
Sort of
Yeah.
She's like lips, cheeks, boobs, lipo, everything you can imagine.
Hilarious.
I mean, her body is like, doesn't even look real. But anyway, they used to be these successful TV presenters in Sweden, and then they moved to Spain and started producing porn off the back of their fame. Did quite well when it was paid for, but now it's all going down the pan. They're not paying their rent because they're not making money.
Yeah,
they've been caught by the swimming pool making porn videos. So they've been
told off
by the community.
I mean, you've got a point. I can believe it. If I'm honest, I kind of struggle to feel all that sympathetic about people not making money in the porn industry, but anyway, it's an interesting topic.
It is.
And I'm definitely going to listen to that podcast.
Me too, definitely.
Well, talking about, I don't know, self-help, failing careers, I don't know what the lead-in with the next story is, but if you're the kind of person who cringes at go-get-it quotes on Instagram, then a guy called Gary John Bishop has written a book about building a life you want to live, and it's a real sort of tough love, no-nonsense approach to advice, and it's called Unfuck Yourself. I feel like there are a lot of books with fuck in the title.
I feel like there are, yeah.
Isn't it? But basically the concept is that it's about making your life one that you want to live. What he kind of says is that you live the life that you're willing to put up with, and that either you accept things as they are or you change them. No one wants to hear about you moaning, so just get on with it. And some people would rather be miserable and moan than do something that they need to do in order to make them happy.
Yeah,
so it's about living a life that you've created. It's about realizing that, and this is a point that really resonated with me, is it's about realizing that the future isn't the key to your happiness. Mm-hmm. It's about being grateful for the present and being alive and recognizing the happiness that's around you. And if what you're doing right now isn't making you happy, then it's like, go do something now that changes your future. Like, right now, go do it. And I just love the point about having to be happy in the present, because I think there are so many people that are always just living for the next thing and
or in the past.
Yeah, I think
we've been really, as a society, like, we've been trained to be so ambitious now, especially with everyone becoming entrepreneurs and having amazing careers, that we are always after something and we forget to really appreciate what we've achieved so far.
Yeah,
and the day-to-day small things that do matter, that you do forget about, take for granted. Mm. And there's always a job you could go for, or, you know, someone's always doing better than you. I mean, this resonated loads with me.
It's just a culture that we live in, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, it's everywhere you turn, that kind of messaging, comparing yourself to other people, etc.
Yeah, all these motivational quotes make you think, oh my god, am I really doing enough?
Yeah. But this, I think this, for me, the key takeaway from this is that kind of, it's basically a really blunt way of saying, like, stop being scared. Because I always think of that quote, like, what would you do if you, tomorrow if you weren't scared of it? And to me, this is that. This is just saying, like, okay, screw all of that. Like, actually just go ahead and be proactive. Like, it's just a really cutthroat way of saying that. And I think that's really helpful. It's like a push. You're like,
and
actually,
don't have regret.
No. Yeah.
And it's just genuinely a really funny book. Like, he's a brilliant writer. I love that where we asked him, so ultimately you're saying that we're all in control of our lives. And he says, you can choose to sit back and manifest yourself into a frenzy of mindfulness and tapping into your spirit animal. That's not going to pay the credit card bill at the end of the month, is it?
Yeah.
Which is so true.
Yeah. And I just love the idea of living in the present. So you make what you're doing now. And if what you're doing now really isn't making you happy, then change it. Don't moan about it. But find a way of making your day to day. Like, so many people are just living for the next thing, counting down to, you know, I can't wait for the weekend, I can't wait for the holiday, I can't wait for, you know, I just think it's so important that you get up every day. And yeah, there are good days, there are bad days. But you get up every day and you find stuff in your day to day that is good and fulfilling. Yeah. And if it's not, don't moan about it. Fucking do something about it.
Change it, Doing the same thing over and over again isn't going to produce a different outcome, is it?
Yeah, I know people like that. I like the point that he moved from Glasgow to LA with $800 in his pocket, and he's now really successful. And so, I don't know, you often get people who, it's easy to talk this talk, isn't it? But he's actually done it himself. Mm. He's gone out there and he sees opportunities and he's been really relentless, and he says, you know, that's what makes someone successful in life. Mm. Is being relentless to the point of obsession.
Yeah, it's kind of a bit similar to what an article you sent me this morning, actually, isn't it?
Yeah. What was it? Move fast and break things. Yeah. Mark Zuckerberg said the key to a successful entrepreneur is not playing it safe.
Get on with it.
Yeah. When I'm like making everyone really out of control.
There's a reason.
When I'm just adding to chaos, I sometimes think the office is quite calm when I arrive. On the subject of being straight talking, a company called Glassdoor has put together a list of the UK's most hated office buzzwords. Quite a lot about this in the press, but it's fair to say that from game changers and no-brainers to mission statements and blue sky thinking, office life comes with its fair share of superfluous terminology. Which of these do you say, which annoy you the most?
You know, I don't actually say many of these, to be perfectly honest. I think
there are a few in here that I wonder where they came from. Punch and puppy.
I was like, question mark.
Punch and puppy is about to do something horrible for the long-term good of the company.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
that. Me. Please drop that into conversation at some point.
I just not touch puppy butt. I'm glad we don't work in a really conventional office.
I mean, I think they're quite sass happy, actually.
And salesy. Yeah. Salespeople love it.
It's quite Ricky Gervais. Run it up the flagpole.
David Brent.
Run it up the flagpole. If you don't like it, get off the bus. And that's just too wordy, isn't it?
If you don't like it, get off the bus.
It's funny how the Americanisms come in, though, isn't it? I remember the first time someone told me to reach out, or that they were going to reach out, I was like, you what? Did you just think to me? And I do find myself saying,
just getting in touch quite a lot.
Everybody's just getting in touch. Yeah. Touching base.
Circle back.
In what context?
Because I get approached quite a lot from, you know, like cold sales companies or whatever, and I'll just say, sorry, a bit busy this week, circle back in 7 days.
Do you?
That doesn't mean anything, Maya.
It's one of these people.
Come back.
Get in touch.
Yeah.
Try again.
The English way to say it.
Circle back, do you? I've never heard that
Run it up the flag.
Just because they say it to me and I've got into a bit of a dark hole of
saying
it.
That's such a stressing. I'll circle back.
Oh, God. I say game changer, actually, all the time. I say that about chocolate bars or like...
But I think game changer is... But I think game changer is so useful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, like, game changer, deal breaker.
Yeah, deal breaker.
Yeah.
I don't know, I think...
I don't know, it sounds a bit cooler than some of these.
But I also think it's quite a good way of saying to someone, like, I know to me I'm always like, you've got to pick your battles a bit, and sometimes if I say it's not a game changer or a deal breaker, it would be good to change something, or it could be improved. Yeah. And if you've got the time, do it. If you don't, it's not a deal breaker.
Yeah.
And it's also a very good way of saying that totally matters. Like, if you could say it's a complete deal breaker, if they're not going to be able to give us X, it's off. It's off.
Yes.
I don't know, to me.
Whereas game changes, like high praise, it's the same thing.
And what about annoying things? What things annoy you the most?
I hate generic responses from people speaking in the office. That really winds me up.
Like what?
When you ask someone's opinion, they go, that's so nice.
And I just want to punch someone in the face when they do that.
That's not an opinion.
I regularly get press releases that are incorrect, so that will be addressed to somebody. I've got one the other day that said, dear insert name, blah 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 blah. And then they followed it up going, dear Charlotte, so sorry about the mistake, would this work for the debrief? How have you made a mistake twice in one go? Cheers.
Do like, your research.
The worst is the mail manager that's wrong.
Yes. Yeah. Twice.
When someone like a PR that you don't know emails you and says hi hon.
Yeah.
Hi darling.
I
don't know your name.
Yeah.
Like over familiarity.
Yes. Oh god,
it's too much.
And we get a lot in our industry.
I always remember someone, a PR from a really big PR agency, sent out a mailing list, but they didn't BCC, they CC'd like pretty much every journalist. But they were promoting a new range of sex toys. And just the tirade of comments from all the journalists back was the funniest thing ever.
Someone used to eat their food. Oh, this is terrible because I always eat my lunch when I'm catching up with people, but that's only so the same amount. But this person she'd make her lunch and then she'd put a mouthful in her mouth and then she'd walk over and ask you a question before the mouthful.
Oh, that's great.
So you'd go, can you actually go? Yeah, and then she'd come over and talk to you, and that used to...
Is that the one you told me once that Coco said something?
And I told the children, and Coco came into the office once and said, Mummy, which is the one that eats the chocolate with her mouthful? And I was like, oh my god. You can't, children,
this is... Also, people who put fish in the microwave, that's just
I don't like it at work either.
I think fish is a step too far. Agreed. Actually, cooking raw fish at work in the microwave is not good.
It's not nice.
I just think cooking meat and fish, buy it pre-cooked or bring it in cooked.
I agree.
Definitely. Even cooked fish sometimes do.
Yeah, people really
on the
office, fish.
While we're on the nitpicking, people not washing their plates.
Oh my god, don't even get me started.
When they stack them on the right-hand side of the...
I know.
When they're dry.
It's like there's covers.
Oh my god.
Let's talk about food cravings. Because whether you're craving a bowl of pasta or a donut, experts say that cravings are the body's way of telling us that something is missing. And that you need better balance, whether it's vitamins, minerals, energy. So we wrote a piece on what our desire for certain foods really means. And I thought this was interesting. I mean, some of it's kind of common sense, but for example, it said that if you crave chocolate, it can indicate that your body's deficient in magnesium, and that nutritionists say that more than 80% of British adults are lacking in magnesium, and that it's really key for energy production.
Yeah, so I wouldn't have thought that. I'd have been like, oh, sugar levels, can you put low blood sugar?
And that your magnesium levels are lower during your period, which is why you're from Crave Chocolate.
Magnesium's all related to your energy levels, etc., and sleeping, and kind of regulating your body clock. And I always have dark chocolate in my drawer by my desk, and by about 3 p.m. I always have to do
it. Yes, we say if you're going, and it's funny that if you, my stepmom quite often has to be chopped before she plays tennis, she always just thinks it's a weird thing. And
that's quite like an old school, like something of like our parents' generation. Yeah, okay.
But and I was when I was reading this, I was thinking about magnesium because I'm taking quite a large dose. I was a bit horrified the other day when I told her how much magnesium I was, but I did point out that it was on the dosage on the back. I am taking the maximum, but how amazing it's been for my sleep. And it's funny because I read this and I thought, I'm not craving chocolate. I'm a real chocoholic and I'm not craving chocolate as much. I don't know if
that's really what, since you've been taking the supplement.
Yeah, so I don't know if that's because I'm less tired or because I'm taking the magnesium. Or,
maybe you know, both. Maybe
they're linked, aren't they? But so that was, it said if you crave sweets or sugar, it's an indication you're running low on energy. No surprises. Mm-hmm. It said salt, if you crave salt, then it often means that you're very stressed. And also that salt cravings can be a sign of dehydration.
Yes.
Carbs, it said it's to do with mood. That's no, that's not a surprise. Yeah. And cheese. I mean, does anyone ever crave cheese?
Yeah, yeah, this is me all over.
Really?
Cheese, I'm 2 blocks cheese a day.
Very addictive. There's been new studies saying cheese is as addictive as Class A drugs.
Doesn't
what?
I mean, ridiculous clickbait, but
that's like, really,
it triggers something in the brain that if you're a big cheese fiend, so then
well, it does say, it. Yeah, it's a fatty acid deficiency and all those omega-3s, and they're linked, aren't they, to brain activity? Yeah.
It said that if you get those lumps, small lumps on the back of your arms,
yes.
Callum gets them.
They're getting so bad as well. I don't eat any cheese.
I don't eat any cheese.
Lack of vitamin B, I was told.
Is it?
What, the lumps?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I don't know if it's true.
Callum hasn't read that.
And the other thing is meat. It's about an iron deficiency.
Sometimes I do crave a steak. And it's probably
I knew you were going to say that you love a steak.
I love steak, but it's probably because I'm low on iron. And it's not very often. It's
Anyway, so I think the things you need to look at if you're someone that's that craves foods a lot is magnesium, iron, zinc, and B vitamins. There's a lot that's related to vitamin B, isn't there?
They say, particularly for women, vitamin B's, like all the spectrum, are very important.
That's really interesting. It says the pill can zap levels of vitamin B in your body as well. That's really interesting.
Yeah, it does. And alcohol, stress, sugar, vitamin B. I need to look into that, I think.
More pills.
Overpriced vitamins.
They're so expensive. Well, now that we're kind of knowledgeable about them.
Talking of vitamins, not feeling well, we wrote a piece on... Well, this is a bit of a silly piece, isn't it? That's nodding. We wrote it. Why you shouldn't drink before bed. I mean, obviously it's not good for insomnia. It's great in the short term, but you do wake up a few hours later. But, you know, we all want to drink in the evening.
But also, when else are you going to do it?
In the morning.
Can't drink before I get to bed, so I'm going to have a G&T after breakfast. But, I don't know, I think this actually also focuses quite a bit on wine. And I actually find if I drink, I don't know about you, but my hangover on wine versus spirits... We went to see some friends at the weekend, and I drank so much more wine than usual. I always try and pace myself and drink gin and tonics for as long as I can before I have to switch to wine. I drank wine early on, and I just felt so horrendous on Saturday.
Yeah,
and last night I had some girls for drinks. I was very aware that VIP was going live today, so I was quite a good girl. I was like, you've got a curfew at 10:45. I managed to get with them at 11:15. But I only had one glass of wine, and I had 3 gin and tonics, and I actually don't at all feel like I drank last night. Mm. But had I had the equivalent number of units in wine, I would feel horrendous. It only takes me 2 big glasses of wine to really feel bad.
Yeah, so I think wine gives me a worse headache as well, to be fair.
But it does put me to sleep, though, if we're talking about sleep. Yeah,
They say the clearer the spirit, the less of a hangover you get. So,
do they?
Gin or vodka.
It's also, is it
for
sugar
me,
levels?
It's like sticking to the same drink. If you have wine, then you have gin tonic, or vice versa. You're just mixing, aren't you?
But obviously, you know, if you suffer from insomnia, then alcohol might help you fall asleep, but it really affects your sleep pattern.
Yeah, but I think if you're not an insomniac, like I just don't agree. I'll always sleep better if I have a glass of... I don't suffer from insomnia, and I just would always sleep better with a glass of anything.
Of one, though, not four.
No, even... I think four knocks me
out.
But I wake up thirsty anyway.
It'll knock me out, but I will wake up about 4 o'clock in the morning, gack mouth, running to the bathroom.
I do that every day.
Eat the tap.
Yeah, it's horrible. And you're like, quick, down and pike.
I know, drink now. I was saying at these friends, and I was like, is it okay to drink the bottled water in Jersey? I was like, sod it, I'm drinking. I stayed well, I had a glass and there was a tap. And I let it run for a while. But obviously, wakes up in the middle of the night and it makes you, it makes Ben snore, doesn't it?
Yes.
Callum claims that I snore, and this is the first person that's ever told me it.
Maybe it's a new thing.
Don't worry, lots of people snore.
I mean, it's only him I'm keeping up, so I don't really care.
Sister duo Sam and Nick Chapman, also known as Pixie Woo, know a thing or two about staying groomed and gorgeous. They've got about 2 million subscribers, they won Best YouTubers at the Glamour Awards. And I've become really addicted to their channel. There's something really hypnotic about watching good videos, but they're good ones, and they're kind of great. They were quite young when they started, they're a bit more grown up now.
Yeah, they are more grown up.
And we kind of rounded up three of our favourites. They did a great one on how to get really long eyelashes. Basically, one of them has been using this product called Lilash, which actually Tor's been using as well, which apparently is the product if you really want to grow your lashes. And they did a great video on everyday makeup. I don't know, there's something really hypnotic about watching them. There aren't that many YouTubers I follow, but I think it's so fascinating, this whole YouTube world. We obviously are sort of in it to a degree with Sherlock's Live and our fashion hauls that do so well. But, you know, YouTube just as a media outlet, I think, and how it's going to transform the way we consume, how it already is, how we consume TV. Still going to call it TV.
It's all going to change very quickly.
I mean, YouTube are now commissioning their own shows, aren't they? And it's interesting when I, you know, hang out with I've got younger siblings, but so often they'll bring up something on YouTube and they'll end up showing you a clip. And, you know, as sort of my sister who's in her early 20s, just left university, I mean, they'll kind of sit for hours watching things on YouTube as opposed to watching TV.
I'm one of those. I never watch live TV anymore unless it's really something specific that I want to see. And usually I'll watch on catch up anyway. So I do turn to YouTube quite a lot, actually. I follow a few.
Who do you watch?
Ashley Brooke is an American fashion blogger.
She has really nice fashion content.
Actually, you got me onto her. She does really nice fashion content.
Yeah. Klossy, you know, Carly Kloss, her YouTube videos are quite good sometimes. She has a few business ones and coding with Klossy and things like that.
Yeah, coding with Klossy. Yeah.
They're good. Fashion Slation.
I think she's been paid quite a lot to do the coding ones. So she's teamed up with Wix, hasn't she?
Yeah, she has. She's got a partnership,
that platform. But I think Wix is really good if you want to build a site in a very simple and easy way. It's quite a good platform, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, definitely. I'm obsessed with James Corden's Late Late Show.
Oh, are you? That's also made by my friend and their production company, FYI.
Right. Carpool Karaoke just makes my day.
What's his latest one? Will Smith.
Yeah, I haven't watched it yet.
I actually, I'm sorry to say this, I think James Corden has been hyped up to be the most naturally gifted comedian of our time, and I think it's completely wrong. If he's been given a script, he's great, but he can't ad lib. And if you want, I mean, I think the edit must be just huge on Carpool Karaoke, but there's some quite awkward moments. I think it's the same on the show. I actually feel like it's quite forced. I don't think he's a natural stand-up.
I think he's very much a producer. Like, I think he comes up with the idea.
He does. He is one of the founders of the blog. He's really involved.
No, he doesn't. And it feels a bit forced to me. He was amazing in One Man, Two Governors. I mean, amazing, but he didn't write that script and he was acting. I'm not saying he's not a good actor, but there's this thing that he's this sort of natural comic genius. I'm not saying he's not a bright guy. I like his Carpool Karaoke, but when he has someone weak, it kind of really falls down.
Sometimes you feel a bit awkward.
He can't carry it. If it's a weak guest. Sorry, I do love Carpool Karaoke.
The Usher one was amazing.
I haven't seen Usher.
I watched the really big ones that went super viral. They all went viral.
The early ones.
Who was the really bad one? Was it Mariah Carey? There was one that was so short, and they were just bringing nothing to the party.
And a female rapper. Who was that? That one was actually
Missy Elliott.
Yeah, that was quite bad.
Is there anyone else that anyone follows? Obviously, we all follow Trini. Any others?
On YouTube, not religiously follow, but I do constantly go on and see what's on trending lists and things like that. I am watching YouTube a lot, more so than any other.
Astrid, any of you watching?
Not really. It's kind of organically you find stuff if you've been searching, especially because we search so much for work. And then, I'll kind of get sucked into that YouTube bubble. And 25 minutes later, I'm still
I think the reason that the Chapmans are so good and appeal to us is because they're more grown up as well. Like, there are so many tweeny makeup artists and people kind of doing stuff on YouTube. And actually, they're both mums. A bit more mature.
Yeah, I agree. And actually, their makeup brushes, real techniques, are genuinely brilliant and really raved about. So if anyone is keen to invest in their makeup brushes without spending a horrendous amount of money, then, you know, they start at sort of £5 or something. And, you know, even a great big face brush is sort of £10, and the industry really raves about them. So I'm back on Parisians this week because they're famed for their effortless style and their nonchalant attitude, and we put together the 8 things that any discerning woman Parisian would never be without, and they included a Bretonneux trench, a Birkin basket, white sneakers, what else,
ballet flats, a bit of tweed,
and a big boy hat. I mean, I actually looked at this list. Take Baker Boy hat out, which I didn't like anyway.
I love it. You look good in a Baker Boy hat.
I'm not saying this, you do carry on very well. But I think what kind of struck me when I looked at this as a whole was it's actually quite surprisingly mumsy. Like, when you look at this list, so what is it about the French that make it not? Because I never look at a French woman and think they look mumsy. I think they look, you know, inimitably chic. If someone who's not French. But do you know what I mean? You think of a knit and a ballet flat and a trench and a Breton.
I think it comes down to an attitude. That's and a vibe. Like, they probably are wearing the trench and some pumps, but they're smoking a fag at the same time. Yeah. They've got a bit of a smudged red lip and messy hair. Like,
I also think it's kind of cool. First of all, I think you don't wear it all at once. I think that's the key. I don't think you should be putting on your Chanel pumps with your skinny jeans and your Breton and your trench, because then you will look like you're doing a school run. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But I think it's all to do with what, you know, remember at Fashion Day, we sat down with Chloe, aka Lulu de Saison, who is an amazing Instagram star, and she was basically telling us that it's all just in the way you wear it, isn't it? So instead of putting your trench on, you know, as it should be, just like, roll the sleeves or pop the collar or drape it like a cape. You know, it's all about kind of styling it. So if you're going to wear, you know, we've got some of those quilted flats, the Chanel style ones, you know, in this edit. If you're going to wear them, then don't wear them with skinny jeans and like a long top, you know? It's just about getting that balance, I think.
But, I mean, yes, drape it, whatever. But actually, go to Paris, they're not draping it. They've got it on and they've tied it up. They've knotted it, they haven't put it through the belt holes. Yeah. And they've also got a Longchamp bag, which frankly I think are horrendous.
Get me started on Longchamp bags.
That's got a Longchamp bag. I think they're fine if you go for the short, chunky handles and it's an overnight bag. Then you're fine. But a long handle over your strap is where everyone's
at. Everyone who knows me, this is literally my biggest pet peeve in the whole world. If you are travelling and you're taking a laptop with you, that is one thing. But using it as a handbag, like, it is not a handbag. And it, honestly, I can massively
I think the only thing worse for me is, gosh, this is real pet peeve today, isn't it? The only thing worse for me is someone carrying a Sainsbury's bag with their trainers in it to work. If you are that desperate, if you are that person you're listening, just email us. Because I can't cope with it. It's not even that, it's someone in their black tights. They've got black tights on. There's a girl in my gym, black tights, trainers, and she walks out in the morning with an Ocado bag which has got her shoes in it.
That's very corporate to do that.
Who doesn't have 50,000 free totes in their cupboard?
But I think, I think that's the point. If you go to Paris, they've got a Longchamp bag. They do still carry them, and they still look good. So
that's attitude.
Yeah, she wants to be right.
And the rest of us are just stuffed because we're never going to have it. You've worn it out.
Yeah.
I think so.
So that's it for this week. If you have any feedback, then do email podcast@sheerlux.com. And please subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes. See you next week.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.